277, and if someone can start the hymn, please.
Thank you.
While we were singing, you might have noticed this is a review of Psalm 23. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we just do look to Thee for guidance and encouragement as we open up the Word of God. We just do pray for a blessing here this evening that we might realize that Christ desires to be our shepherd and our guide. We do pray, too, that we might seek after Thee, Lord Jesus, that it might be our heart's desire to have company and fellowship with Thee. So we pray for encouragement and a blessing. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. We're going to do something a little bit different this evening, which will give me about 10 minutes of time that I don't need to speak. But I want to start by reading a verse in Genesis chapter 3. This is about Adam and Eve. Chapter 3 and verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" So we have a little piece that I had a little help with putting together. And I think it's about 10 minutes. And it's a little word from it's a little word from John Whitaker. Howbeit, it's John Avery Whitaker who in Fantasyland built a certain machine. So, if you go ahead and play that for us, please.
Meanwhile, our lunch is waiting, and you lost count.
What? Oh, that's right.
You stopped at 16.
16, are you sure?
As certain as I am about anything.
Okay, thanks. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20! Okay, ready or not, here I come!
Well, let's go eat. Is the sign up?
Closed for maintenance.
Okay, good. Well, maybe this will finish downloading by the time we've had our lunch.
I would assume so.
They're gone. Come on.
Come on where?
To the imagination station.
Didn't you hear? It's closed.
I don't want to use it. I just want to hide in it. That's the last place Connie will think to look for us.
I don't think we should.
Sarah.
The sign says it's closed.
Fine. You can go and hide somewhere else then.
But Kevin...
It's the best hiding place in the whole building.
Then hide there if you want. I'm going to find somewhere else.
Okay.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
This is perfect. Now let's see. Close the door.
Great. Welcome to the Imagination Station.
What? Look, Mr. Whitaker, I was just playing. I mean...
The auto start has been engaged. Please select your adventure.
Select an adventure? But I don't want an adventure. I'm just playing hide and seek.
Thank you.
Where am I?
A guest?
Oh, hello. Sorry, but
no need to apologize, boy. Come, get warm by the fire.
Thank you, but I'm lost.
The desert at night. Who can find their way?
Desert?
Here, help an old man and throw that log on the fire.
Sure.
That's it.
Look, sir, I'm kind of confused.
About what?
I don't know where I am.
Well, where are you supposed to be?
Well, we were playing hide and seek, and then...
Hide and seek. An interesting expression.
It's a game.
Uh-huh.
You never heard of it?
Tell me.
Well, you hide, and someone else tries to find you.
Ah, well, I've played that game, then.
Good for you. Anyway...
So I played it with God.
Terrific. But, see, I wasn't... What? God? You played hide and seek with God?
Where are you? He called. It's a question I'll never forget. What a dark, dark day. Sit down, son.
Sit down?
You have to know. To understand.
Understand what?
What happened that day. In the garden. We had complete fellowship with God then. He gave us everything. Everything but the tree. Stay away from the tree, he said. And we did. At first. But something. What was it? What could have possessed us? My wife, she went to look at it. Just to look, she said later. But it was there. That cunning deceiver. It said that God lied to us. That God was afraid we would be like him if we ate the fruit from that tree. Oh, it was so enticing to be like God. It knew that better than anyone. It was so calm, so persuasive. We were so weak. So she reached up and bit into the fruit. I ate as well. Sweet to the lips, but so bitter to the taste. So bitter. It all changed. We saw everything so differently. We were completely exposed. What did we do? What would you do?
I don't know. But I remember this story. It's the Garden of Eden, right?
Oh, the garden. So deep and lush. We thought we could hide in it. Even on my dear wife's deathbed, she asked again, what were we thinking? We thought we could hide from God.
I'm just a kid, and even I know you can't hide from God.
Yeah, well, we were the first to find out. Where are you? He called. Where are you? He knew he was God. Of course he knew. But he called anyway to give us a chance to present ourselves. We knew we couldn't hide for long. So we showed ourselves. We made excuses. We placed the blame. And the consequences came anyway. Banished! Banished from the garden to a life of toil and hardship, pain and death. Murder, I should say. But the worst of it was being separated from him. It could never be the same with God after that. Never.
Are you telling me that you're... What's your name, sir?
I am Adam.
Where can I escape from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the pit of the earth, you are there. If I travel to the limits of the east or dwell at the bounds of the west, even there, your hand will be guiding me.
David, where are you?
Nathan? Well, come in. And please don't stand on ceremony by knocking first.
A word, if you please.
For you, anything. Oh, I see you've brought a boy and a lamb. What is all this?
I have come to tell you a story.
A story?
It's a story of two men in a city. One man was rich with large flocks and herds. The other was poor with nothing of his own, except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He had reared it, and it grew up in his home together with his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and nestled in his arms. It was like a child to him.
Well, that's a very nice story, Nathan. However, as you can
see... One day, a traveler came to the rich man's house. And he, being too greedy to take something from his own flock or herd to serve his guest, took the poor man's lamb and served it for the meal.
Is this a true story, prophet? As the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He shall pay for the lamb four times over, because he has done this and shown no pity. Show me this man!
You are the man.
What?
Thus says the Lord God. It is I who anointed you king over Israel. I rescued you from the hands of your enemies. I have added to your family and would have done even more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah and taken his wife Bathsheba to be your own. Surely the Lord God will deal with you now. Though you hide, he has found you out.
Nathan, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. In the fullness of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
How am I seeing this?
Where are you? Peter?
Something's wrong. This is like a nightmare.
Boy.
Huh?
Over here, in the alley.
What?
Go ahead to that street. Do you see?
Yeah.
Let me know if there are any Roman guards. Will you do that?
Wait a minute. I know you.
No, that's not possible.
I saw you on the beach. You were fishing and Jesus called you to follow him.
What? Who are you? Who sent you here?
No one. I was just...
Listen to me. I didn't understand. He said he would be handed over, but not like this. No, not like this.
Like what?
They're going to kill him. Don't you see? He told us over and over. But you don't believe it until it's right there in front of you. He said he called us to pick up our crosses and follow him. But nobody said it would be so hard. So hard. Oh, God, forgive me. Get out of my way.
Hey, watch out. There's got to be a way out of this. I don't understand what's happening.
Mr. Whitaker?
Where are you?
I'm right here, Mr. Whitaker. Get me out of here. Mr. Whitaker? Mr. Whitaker! Mr. Whitaker? I give up.
Oh, careful. Oh, I'm so sorry, child.
What's wrong?
It has happened. The most glorious thing.
What?
He is risen. Jesus has risen from the dead. We must find the disciples. Where are they?
I don't know.
We have to find them. They must hear this. We gotta find them.
Oh, this is too much. Whoa, watch out!
Paul! Are you all right? The light. Can't you see the light? Where are you?
Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Who are you?
I am Jesus. Are persecuting.
Wow.
Where are you?
What?
Where are you?
Where are you?
Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?
Where are you?
Where are you?
Please stop.
Where are you? Where are you?
Stop. Stop. Please stop.
Where are you?
Kevin, where are you?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am. What's happening?
I'm confused.
About what?
I figured out what was going on. All those scenes were about God looking for people, calling them.
That's right.
Do you think God's looking for me, too?
Oh, I'm sure he is, Kevin.
So, how do I answer?
Well, why don't we go to my office where I can explain it properly?
Okay.
Eugene, I'll be in the office with Kevin for a while.
All right, Mr. Whitaker.
You see, Kevin, God loves us more than we can imagine. Because of that love, he wants us to love him back.
So, I guess God is still looking for us.
I believe so, Connie. Where would we be if he didn't?
Exactly.
Anybody recognize those stories? Who's actually listened to the play before? Yeah. But the ones I've heard, I consider that one to be the best out of the, whatever there are, 70 of them or something. Adam, where art thou? God is indeed searching for us, but there's a question this evening: what are we searching for? What have we lost? And by searching, what perhaps can we gain? Let's turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. This person was searching for God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Have you ever had that question? Perhaps you're pretty sure that God can see you, but you're wondering if you'll ever see God. Where is thy God? Does he seem hidden? Does he seem aloof even sometimes? Is he just not there? So much so that he's not there that you did not pray last night before you went to bed, and you did not crack open the Bible either last night or this morning, that God just isn't there? Where is thy God? It doesn't seem like Adam is the only one who is lost. In your opinion, is God lost? Think about it. We've come to a Bible camp for 7 days now. We're up there. For yourself, at a Bible camp, how many times did you open up the Word of God? Where is your God? Do you dare to answer that question? To yourself even? Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God. The voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy days. Did you? The end of verse 10 again. Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, my soul, and why art thou disquieted with me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Is God your God? Is there something else in your life that's your God? Who do you go to for help? What other books do you read? Do you read the Bible? You know, in another psalm, Psalm 14, if you want to turn back to that, The very first phrase here says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." There's another psalm that says almost identical to this psalm, not quite. It has the same words all over. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Where are you going to find God? I want to turn to Psalm 139. The Lord hath searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Verse 8. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. And the last two verses, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you talk to God? Do you read His Word? Do you want Him in your life? You know, it's a very, very remarkable thing. There's folks out there that poll Christian opinions and Christian thoughts. And if I understood the comments right, that in this very time, this very year, is the least that Christians have read their Bible. The younger group of people that call them, this is all statistics about people who say they are Christians. There's a younger group, I think the world calls them millennials or something, I have no clue what the actual parameters of that are. I understand that if you are a millennial, you don't like the term. I've read that, beats me. Highest rate of immorality ever among Christians is that age group. It's not a trivial thing. You know, I've pondered, and actually was talking to someone at dinner about that. The Lord is so close to coming. The Lord, you can almost feel His breath on your neck, that He's that close to coming to take us home to heaven. And it is right now when the Lord is so close to His coming that Christians are giving up prayer and reading. Do you read a chapter a day? A chapter of the Bible. You know how long it takes to read a chapter of the Bible? 2 minutes. That's even if you're a slow leader. Yeah. A slow reader. 2 minutes. I don't have any time. I'm rushed. You don't understand my schedule. 2 minutes? How long did you spend on your cell phone yesterday? More than 2 minutes? Think about it. No time for God, but time for the cell phone? Where is thy God? Search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. You know, the Lord knows everything about us. And sometimes we use that as an excuse. We say, well, if he already knows all about us, you know, I really don't need to talk to him. He's got me all figured out anyway. And you know, he does have you figured out. But I want you to think about this. God, in an eternity past, was complete in himself. He had, as we would think of wants, he had no wants. And yet, he created a universe. And this is another astonishing thing, that Christians in a much larger number than like ever before do not believe in creation anymore. Christians. These are church-going folks. Like you. There's different names, but it's like directed evolution or something. Theist evolution. Someone maybe has a better term for it. Anyway, it's out there. They say, oh yeah, yeah, maybe God's like behind the scenes, like a puppeteer, you know. Just kind of seeing how things go. But otherwise, it's all just evolving. Christians are teaching that. Where is thy God? Where is thy God? You know, we need God in a continuous communication. It isn't a matter of simply kneeling down and praying in the morning, which I trust you do. Kneel down and pray. But there's an interaction with God all day long. It just is because you're a Christian. It's because you belong to the one who runs the universe that you will stop and say, hi, I need you. Or, hi, I've been thinking about you, and I'm glad that you saved me. Hi, I love you. Do we have time for that? You better believe we have time for that. Do we use our time for that? I trust so. Indeed. You know, communication with the Lord is a very practical thing. It's necessary for your life, for your schooling, for your job, for your family. You know, let's say you're married. You're a lady, and you got to talk some things out. And sometimes there's kind of a way things go that, number one, you might feel that your spouse doesn't hear. I mean, actually doesn't hear. And even if they do hear, you wonder if they listen. And even if they happen to be listening, you wonder if they even understand. And even if they seem to give some nod to the fact that they understand, you wonder if they can even relate to what you just said. Aren't you glad there's a God? Yeah. God understands. He hears, he listens, he understands, and he relates, and he cares. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He's even asked us to call upon him in the day of trouble. And I'm just going to read some verses here. In Matthew, he says, I am with you even unto the end of the age. That's at the end of Matthew. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Wouldn't this be somebody you'd like to have a little communication with occasionally? Don't you think that might be a little bit better than a call? It just might be. You might want to keep your cell phone in your purse or your pocket and make a call in a different direction. He's there. And he loves us. And he wants us to have this communication with him. Sometimes we use another word that we sometimes get a little lost on. We call it communion. Sometimes to some people, communion means taking the bread and the wine on Sunday morning. But you know what? Communion means you just kind of chat together. That you get along. That you make sense to each other. That's really what communion is. Do you want that with your Creator? With your God? Well, let me tell you, He wants it with you too. He wants it with each one of us. This is kind of a young people's camp. But you know, all of this is very much for us that are older as well. Life can get absolutely harried. And you go in early and you get home late. And if you're out in the field, like some in this room are a lot, or related to farm industry, you know, up with the sun and down with the sun. And those summer days can be mighty long and sweaty and dusty. And you come home a dirty mess and you jump right in the shower and shortly you go to bed and your husband and wife goes, oh, well, that was the end of another day. But God, the Lord Jesus says, I am with you even to the end of the age. Lord Jesus Christ is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We started with Adam, where art thou? We then moved on to where is God? Where is thy God? So I had a few verses I wanted to read about where. And we'll turn back to Genesis 22. Genesis 22 and verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And I know this was, I was told this was kind of reenacted recently. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Both of them together, father and son. Think of God and Jesus. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb? Do you realize that every blessing, every positive thing that is in your life comes to you because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, oh, well, I go to the grocery store and I get food and it's good food. Every blessing comes to you because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And allow me to back up very simply that if there had not been the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would not have been a creation, and we wouldn't be here to think about it anyway. But God has a plan. His plan is communion, communication. He wanted you to be a friend. And so the Lamb, the universe was created, and the Lamb was sent. Where is the Lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Where is the lamb? Might get a little closer to the situation in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And there's a little saying that goes this way, wise men still seek him. And that's a good little saying. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Where is he? Where is he? You know, God, as we heard in the play, seeks after us. But do you seek after God? He says, I'm a Christian. As a Christian, do you seek after God? Someone came from a long way away. We're not sure where they came from. In the eastern middle or eastern part of the Middle East. And they came traipsing across, presumably on camels. And they came to Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Why didn't they go to Damascus? That was an older city and it had been around a long time. It was pretty important in history, especially by the time Christ came along. Damascus had been very important in history. Come to Jerusalem. Where is he, they ask, that is born King of the Jews? How many people in this world have been born king? I don't know, it's possible that there's someone, but usually you're born a prince or princess, and then when your dad or mom knocks off, you become a king or a queen. Well, that's how it works. But here's someone that disturbed the whole city of Jerusalem because they asked the simple question. They said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Hey, we're Jewish people. We don't know about any king. What are you asking about? They had no clue. The Lord of glory, the creator of the universe, the one who had spoken to Moses in the burning bush, the one who had given the words to the prophets of Isaiah, who prophesied where Christ, that Christ was coming. And there's other prophecies that speak of Bethlehem in particular. He was the one who was directing all of that. And he personally came into this world, was born as a baby. Adam was not born. He was made out of dirt. Just as an aside, ladies, guys are made out of dirt. Women weren't made out of dirt. Keep that in mind. Where is he? Do you care? Not really. Do you care? You say you're a Christian. But you forgot to pray, forgot to read your Bible. And so what difference does it make? Where is he? He'll take care of me. I believed on Jesus Christ. I confessed my sins. I'm just fine. At the same time that the immorality rate among people under 35 is skyrocketing who call themselves Christians. Should you be a seeker? Should you be like those wise men who sought Christ out purposely? They made a trip of the deal. It wasn't just a casual thing. They were in the neighborhood and said, well, we'll just check it out while we're here. No, that's why they went. Where is he? Let's turn to John chapter 14. A little closer to home. He's when several years later. Jesus Christ is quite an adult. He's about 33 years old. John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Do I? I mean, do I really believe? I've heard the expression, you've probably heard it too. As a Christian, we're brave enough to put our eternal welfare in the hands of Jesus Christ, but can't trust him for tonight or tomorrow or next week. Is that something? Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And where did Jesus Christ go to prepare a place for you? He went to the cross. He went to death. I go to prepare a place for you. And that's how the place was prepared. There would be no heaven for us if there was no death of Christ. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Kind of started with that. The Lord's coming again. Then how should we live? Famous verse. Somewhere back in the Old Testament, Isaiah, I think. How then shall we live? How then should we live? I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Adam, where art thou? Christ has promised that we will be with him where he is. You, descendants of Adam and Eve, are you assured of a heavenly home with Christ personally, with him? Luke chapter 22. You can probably guess what verse I'll read there. Luke 22 and verse 19. Nope. It is verse 8. He sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And then he gave instructions. Now, you know, there's different ideas about what the will of God is for your life. And I'm sure this question probably came up in the week. It usually does. What's the will of God in your life? There's different theories about that. God has like a general will. So say some. You know, he'll just like get you through this life and get you to heaven. Okay. That's like a general will of God. Takes 1 minute to say, and it takes actually 0 minutes to even think about it, because basically it says, yo, dude, you can do what you want. He'll get you there. Okay? Is that good enough for you? It's good enough for a lot of people that call themselves Christians. Where wilt thou that we prepare? How about Matthew 18? And I suppose you can guess what verse I'll read there. Matthew 18, verse 20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know, the Lord Jesus did not purchase us to be robots, or a word that I kind of like, an automaton. He didn't do what he did so that we'd be like that. And if you want to kind of put it in the vernacular, you can understand why he wouldn't. Because what fun would that be for God? Just to have little wind-up toys in heaven. And you just set them going, and they... Would that honor, would that please the heart of God? No. Of course not. He built this as more than that. Where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There's purposefulness. It can be purposefulness on your part. I believe that the majority of the thought of the purposefulness is the Spirit of God's direction. But where? Where? The Lord Jesus Christ loves us. He wants us to think, quote-unquote, independently. He wants us to, quote-unquote, think for ourselves. And he does. That's why he wants you to personally read the Scriptures, so that you can get it for yourself, so you can think about it yourself. Don't waste your life listening to people like me standing in front of an audience. That is a total waste of your Christian time. Read it for yourself. Get it for yourself. And follow it in obedience to what you read in the Bible for yourself. This is the will of God for you, even your sanctification. He wants you to be set apart for Him. He has purchased you. He has sought you. Adam, where art thou? He has taken the effort to find you. He has given you a brand new life, brand new existence, something that rises above the affairs of this world and attaches you to heaven. Now make use of it. Put a smile on your face. Put the Bible in your hands and put your knees on the floor to pray and live for Christ because He deserves it. Not that you're following a formula, but you're following your heart. You're following your emotions because you care about the One who has cared for you. Where art thou? Where are you tonight? Where do you care to be? Do you care? I know you do. Now live it. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee that we can reflect on Thy heart in that simple question, Adam, where art thou? O Lord Jesus, if Thou wouldst teach us to feel that love, that motivation from Thy point of view to seek after us, it would be but a simple thing to seek after Thee, Lord Jesus. May we truly seek, and we know that we will find. We know that we'll find Thy will. We'll find Thy delights in us, which are in the sons of men. We do thank Thee that we will find that there's One who cares for us at every step. We pray that we might bow our hearts, bow our knees to Thee, Lord Jesus Christ, in simplicity and humility, to honor Thee in this world that is so dishonoring to Thee and getting worse. We pray that we might stand out as lights to be a blessing to those that are around us also. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.